music.
Groovy, baby. Groovy.
Hello and welcome to According to John. Today, the question that we have before us is there a biblical list of sins?
And by the time we get to end of this Bible study, you're going to look back and say, that was sweet.
Yeah.
And we're not going to beat anybody. We're not going to here to beat up anybody, but sin is not our friend.
No.
Sin is our enemy. We have a heavenly Father.
So I've come to the realization that sin is a lot like sugar.
Yeah.
It is sweet for the moment, but man, the damage it does to our health afterwards.
And our relationship with God and our relationship. Sugar, what it does to our health and what our relationship.
What sin does to our relationship.
With God and people. Yeah. And so, you know, the enemy tries to make out that sin is our friend and it feels good, do it and follow your heart. Man, my heart will take me into destruction.
The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it?
Yeah. I remember when God got his people out of Egyptian slavery under Moses' leadership, he takes them out to the mountain, out in the wilderness where there's no other distractions. Moses has them clean up, stand on the edge of the mountain, don't cross over because this is holy ground. You do your dead meat. God is holy and he's powerful and he's loving. And so Moses goes up and the fire comes down on the mountain. And this is how God works with his kids. He takes them to a private place. He got their attention.
Right.
Clearly got their intention. And then he clearly spelled out with the lists.
Yep.
And clarified to them what is expected and a lot of times why.
Right.
Because he loves us.
Right.
And so these lists that we're going to show you all through Scripture.
Yep.
And the Scripture, these lists, it's like if you just take them out of don't do this. Right. Or do this.
The do's and the don'ts.
Yeah. Right? And it's you can totally miss it.
Yep. Yep. Well, hey, totally I am it. Your host, John Westfall. This is my co-host, Pastor Duke Ergot, the Duke Meister.
Up from South Carolina.
Yes. And it's good to have you here, too,
man. It's good to be back. It's 25 degrees here, and it's like 65 back in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Yeah, so what? Any rate, hey, I am your host, John Westfall. This is Pastor Duke, the Duke Meister, and we are going to answer the question on According to John Unbridled. I keep forgetting to add in the Unbridled.
New music, new logo, new title, same old goat over here.
Same old goat.
I look and see that white beard. I'm like, who's that? And I thought it was my dad, and it's me.
Yeah. So we sat down and Duke looks into the camera because obviously we have the camera in front of us, and then we have the screen so we can see what you see. And what I actually noticed is that the camera is mirrored, and so it has the writing on our shirts backwards.
It is what it is. Newtown Road, the church I founded in 1978. My hoodie here, you know, got all the hippie thing going
right.
But good to be back. Proud of what God's doing through According to John.
Well, what I was going to say was you sat down and you went, Johnny, we're gray.
It's true. We used to be young men, maybe not handsome young men, but
you were
handsomer. Yeah,
and this gray used to be exact opposite. It used to be black.
Yeah, we're getting old. We have eternal life, so it don't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Amen.
It doesn't matter.
Good to be back behind the microphone with you in these Bible studies. We just knocked out a couple, and this is our third setting for today. Is there a biblical list of sins? And when you first see this title, it sounds like it's going to be a negative, but in reality, it's going to be a positive. We're going to help you, folks. Thanks for tuning us in. We love you.
It's going to be good. Is there a biblical list of sins? And the answer is yes and no. And we're going to discuss that and open it up and see what it actually looks like. Brother, open us in a word of prayer, please.
Okay, Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach the Word of God by podcast. You can go to all the world. And we know people tune in from, according to John, from 140 different nations. And what an honor it is for us to teach. I pray that we'll be effective teachers by anointing of your Spirit. And then we pray anointing on all who listen, that they'll rightly divide the Word of God along with us and stand close to you and be full of love and be full of truth and not driven by winds of doctrine. And be stable and enjoy this Bible study we'll do together today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So, is there a biblical list of sins? We're going to go through a process. This is what we always do, right? The simple answer is yes and no. I mean, that would, I guess if that's simple, yeah. I don't know. But that would be the truth. So, we don't have a full checklist of everything, but since God wants us to have success in living for Him, there has to be a list of sins to avoid. And that is what we're going to talk about, right? Because from the very beginning, God told man what was right and what was wrong.
Because man wants to do what man wants to do.
And man's not that intelligent, man.
He doesn't want instruction. He doesn't want correction in our fallen nature.
Right.
And when we live that way, Sodom reappears.
Yeah, and so to Adam in the Garden of Eden, God said in Genesis 2, 16 through 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And so there is a stage set because God didn't want us to know about the evil in the world.
Yeah, just one rule starting out. But when he failed on that one, sin entered the world, now man's flesh is going to go in 1,000 bad directions. But God said, hey, I'm your father.
Yep.
I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to protect you. If you go out here, you think it's so beautiful, it's going to be so much fun, you're going to shipwreck your life or crash and burn.
Train wreck, baby.
Yeah, baby. So go in. I have to just jump in and get this stuff off my mind.
So look, to Adam, he said that in the garden, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God established his laws with them on Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
The Ten Commandments, right? In Exodus 20, 1 through 17, I give you that passage. I'm not actually going to read it, but Exodus 20, 1 through 17 will give you the Ten Commandments. But they weren't the whole law. They were a summary of what God had to tell them.
You get those 10 right, the rest of them pretty much fall in place. I had somebody tell me once, I never forgot it, these are the 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions.
Yeah, right, exactly. So the entire book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy are devoted to revealing to the Israelites God's laws. Jewish rabbis say that there are 613 laws in the Torah or the books of Moses or the Pentateuchs, any of those are referenced.
First five
books of the Bible is what those three names reference. But there is some debate, and the debate is who came up with the 16 as the number of commandments. If you read the Talmud, it points to Rabbi, I think it's pronounced Simlei, in the third century AD as the originator. However, there's no record of Simlei listing all of the commandments. And the most commonly accepted breakdown was done by, and I think it's Maimonides. Let me see.
Maimonides.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Maimonides.
So let me see here.
Some Jewish dude.
Maimonides.
There you go.
Have her say it again.
Maimonides.
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 All right. So if you heard that.
Old Jewish rabbi sorted through those books of Moses.
So I knew I was going to mess that
up. I thought we had it. Then I saw it. I just went blank. So did you. I felt better. You know? If you'd have got it right and I wouldn't have got it, I would have been hurt.
And normally I nail the names and as Maimonides.
Yes.
Maimonides. Any rate, Maimonides is 12th century A.D., and he is the one that people believe came up with the 613, but then he further divided the 613 commandments into positives and negatives, or the do's and the don'ts, right?
Now, see, this is the stuff I think that makes God sick.
Right.
It's like, why would you waste your time with that? I wrote it. Follow that. You gotta study them all. Just walk with me, right. Worship me. Right. You don't have to worry about all this.
Or how about this? I gave you 10. Why are you complicating life?
Yeah. Why would you?
I gave you
that?
One belief system. Why have you added 4,500 more?
To create a religion.
Exactly.
So I don't have to have a relationship with God.
Right.
I can have substitute with religion.
Well, because I can have my own way.
And that was a Jew. Yeah. Yeah, I'll pick and choose the ones I like.
That's what it is. Look, each religion starts out with a form of truth and then adds in their own desires and goes corrupt. Every religion.
Every one.
Except for Christianity, starts out with God, God's ways, and ends with God and God's ways.
And the gates of hell won't prevail against his church.
Will not.
There'll be a falling away, and there'll be false teachers and false prophets and all that, but still the real church is gonna make it.
Yeah, exactly. So when Maimonides breaks this down, he breaks it down 248 do's, 365 thou shalt not. He breaks.
We don't recommend you go study him out.
Yeah, don't. Well, you know what's interesting? So I pull him up, right? And here's the crazy thing about Maimonides. So he, if you research him, right? He is with the Mishnah Torah, and he composed a code of Jewish law. And with the widest possible scope and depth, right? And so then he starts going all in. But now they have schools, Maimonides School, to teach his philosophy. Mm-hmm. And so now he presents all this do's and don'ts, and then everything goes corrupt. But if you look him up, it's spelled Maimonides, Maimonides is how it's pronounced. If you look him up, he was a Jewish thinker who teaches non-Jewish junk. It's so crazy. Any rate, look him up. It's the craziest stuff. And so let me give you an example of the sins that we have, which come from the Ten Commandments.
There's lists in the Old Testament and in the New Testament.
There is.
And they're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Because sin is sin.
So the idea of the Ten Commandments are to give us the basics. This is what we get. False worship, this is what the Ten Commandments talk about. False worship, idolatry, misusing God's name, violating the Sabbath, dishonoring parents, murder, adultery, stealing, lying, and coveting. The Ten Commandments cover those basics, but those basics cover everything.
Yeah, and we're all guilty of all of them. You study them out and see what they mean. Yeah. I love what you're taking with this, because this we're switching from Old Testament into the New Testament.
Now we're in the New.
And we see that those things still stand, but then Jesus tweaks them a little bit.
Right.
Tweaks them a lot.
A lot. In Matthew 5 through 7, chapter 5 through chapter 7, Jesus literally takes some of these ideas here from the Ten Commandments, these sins that it talks about, to a whole new level. Now, when it talks about murder, right, Jesus said in Matthew 5:22, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause," there's the stipulation, right? We have the right to be angry with someone, but we do not have the right to be angry with someone without a cause, "shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says his brother Reka, which is you fool, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire." So when we look at this, the idea is that regarding murder, if you are angry with someone without a cause, it's the same as murder, because you have that in your heart.
It's the same thing in the heart.
Yeah.
It just hasn't maybe happened outwardly yet, but inwardly, you kill them.
Yeah.
Inwardly, it's murder.
That's what happens, right?
And Jesus wants to get to the heart of things, and if we can get over that hatred, will never act it out on the outside. So
right.
he's pointing out that these things that happen out here, it's because something happened in here, mm-hmm. and he's come to fix that, to fix our heart. And so if we're not hating anybody, we never will murder.
Exactly. So
Jesus goes from the outside here to the inside. Right. He does it again. You're ready for the next
one. So regarding adultery, right? That's a big thing. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, I tell people that when is it a sin to look at a woman? The first time you look at her, you're like, oh, God did good. And it might catch your attention where you're like, whoo, okay, she's fine. Let's move on. The sin comes when you look the second time and gawk. Exactly. You go from top to bottom and then you start having thoughts. Listen, that's committing adultery with her in your heart. Mm-hmm. That is why, because you're lusting after her now. And by the way, ladies, it goes the same for you the way you look at men. You're not excluded, yeah. right?
I'd always recommend women at this time to dress modestly. It makes it a little bit more helpful for Christian brothers. Don't dress suggestively.
It makes it helpful for them, too, because now they're not looked at as a piece of meat. They're looked at as a lady, and they'll be treated the way they present themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So it helps both sides.
We could do about 5 podcasts on that. But Jesus goes to the heart. We're doing adultery in our heart. And right. then of course that's going to mess up our minds, going to mess up our thinking, and it's sinning against our wives.
Right.
If a man is doing, I know women do it too, but I'm.
Well,
a man,
you know, and like I said, so a woman presents herself, and by the way, ladies, I'm not picking on you. We're just talking about this verse, right?
God made y'all pretty.
Yeah,
it helped covering up a lot of the pretty helps us guys to think upon you as a sister in the Lord or mother.
Well, because we want to look at everyone godly.
Yeah.
And the reality is with some of the outfits today, they're just not godly.
Yeah, it draws attention away from the face, and it's like, yeah.
If a man has a struggle with that already, then a lady presents herself showing what only should be seen by her husband, then it really does cause a struggle for men who struggle with that, much like alcoholics who struggle with alcohol. But also, ladies, and again, this isn't a slam. Listen, we both have our sides that we struggle with. But when a lady dresses in such a way, in a provocative way that causes men to think thoughts that they should not think, they're not going to be treated the way that God intended for them to be treated. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the motives have started wrong coming out of the gate.
Yeah.
And ladies, you say, well, I don't dress for men to look at me. But when you're putting on those tight, skinny pants, whatever, leggings or whatever they're called, and it forms and fits every facet and part of your body that you have, and yet you say, well, I don't want nobody to look at me. I'm sorry, but that's bull crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a lady that doesn't want someone to look at her will dress modest.
Yeah, most men are pretty weak on that thing.
And most are.
It's our fallen nature. It wants to jump in on that.
Yeah.
And Jesus addresses it straight
quite
up.
Quite clearly.
And so there's the man right. that's trying not to lust, and women, I guess, lust too. I don't understand that part of it. But Jesus goes to the heart and says,
are you saying that there's a difference between men and women?
I think so.
Sarcasm. All right, I'm back on. Go ahead.
I love you, Johnny.
But
Johnny just says outwardly what I'm thinking, you know, so it's going to get him in trouble.
So my stepdad, or I'm sorry, not my wife's stepdad, used to always say, John, one of these days, somebody's going to punch you right in the face. And I say, well, that might be true, but it isn't today. Mm-hmm. Any rate, look, Galatians 5:19-21 gives us a brief list, right? That I promise you will give most people plenty to work on for a lifetime.
Before you read it, I just want to set this up, and this would fit for any one of the lists, whether it's the Ten Commandments, the Levitical Law, these other lists of sins. God spells them out because our fallen nature, nothing is a sin except right. when we don't get our own way.
Right.
and so God clearly identifies what sins are and what they'll do. Mm-hmm. A little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf.
You
give an inch, it'll take a mile.
Yeah.
And so these are things that we need to realize. These are wrong, number one. And number two, they'll eat us for lunch if we start practicing them.
Exactly. And by the way, this list is a brief list of sin.
Yeah, because men would pretend there is no sin, do their own thing, and just destroy their lives and each other. People say, well, it doesn't, you know, I just live unto myself. Nobody
lives
unto themselves. The scriptures say that. We don't sin unto ourselves.
We are our brother's keeper.
Yeah, and when I sin, I hurt people that Jesus loves.
I'll give you a beautiful example. If you take a guy, a woman, it doesn't matter. You take someone who gets drunk, goes out, drives, and has an accident. Mm-hmm. You just affected a multitude of lives.
Yeah.
You take a mom and a dad that can't keep themselves in check, and so they get a divorce. You just affected a multitude of lives. Mm-hmm. A multitude. Not only the ones that are involved in the family, but the workplace, your friends, everyone. Everyone is affected by this. Everyone.
Wouldn't you say, Pastor John, that everybody gets divorced makes it easier for somebody else to get divorced?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, because you what happens, like, especially with the children, when you get a divorce, you already harden the children's heart. Because they're dealing with so much pain, and they're trying to walk through the whole process that it just starts shutting them down. Yeah,
and then they have to choose between the mom and the dad and the fussing that goes on.
And now they got this whole world of crazy that they're trying to navigate. And people are like, oh, children are strong. No, you just didn't give them an option. So here's the list. Let me give you a brief list. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, because we're supposed to keep this light, fun, and happy.
Yep. Look, I'm trying. We got a ways to go here, John.
Here we go.
You haven't hit the target yet.
We haven't. Well, because you're talking about sin.
Yeah. It's
how can you?
Not our friend.
It's not our friend, man. It's so destructive. So here we go. A brief list. And again, this is just a brief list. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Evident, clearly seen. They're evident. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me bring some clarity to this, that those who practice, and what that word practice means is that this is consistent of your lifestyle.
Yeah, it's not. You can fall into something and identify this is sin. That's what David did.
Yeah, and then stop it.
And it was identified. The prophet had to get in his face, and he said, "You're right. I'm wrong. That was sin." He confessed that sin by name to God, asked his forgiveness, and he never went back and committed that same sin again.
Exactly. So, but those who practice this with no repentance, you're not saved. And that's why you won't inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay? I'd like to jump in here, John. When he begins to give this list, can you scroll down to the beginning of the list there, just verse 21?
Well, the beginning is 19.
Yeah, verse 19. Now, the works of flesh are these. But in our world today, we take God's name for sin. Mm-hmm. We change it. Idolatry is now just cheating.
Right.
No, cheating is when you look on somebody's paper in class.
Right.
Or you have a cheat sheet like I always had.
Right.
And I had to eat a few of those just before I knew Jesus. I got caught with them and had to chew them and swallow them so they wouldn't get busted. But we changed the name from drunkenness, alcoholism, fornication to fooling around. We God named these, and these are names that I think we should not change, because these are in the Word of God, and so we want to water it down, like it's not good, it's not harmful. Well, that's wrong.
It's very harmful. One of the words I want to look at was in Galatians 5:19, verse 19 here, lewdness. Because a lot of people don't understand what lewdness means. In the Greek, it's aselgia, which is self-abandonment, right? It refers commonly to a lifestyle. And this refers to a lack of control over oneself, often in the form of excesses of sex and or food. It is often linked together with other vices that are associated with undisciplined and wasteful living. That's lewdness, undisciplined and wasteful living. It occurs 10 times in the New Testament, mostly in vice list where it is linked with sexual sins, and it's closely related to asocia, which means reckless abandon or prodigal living.
Mm-hmm. Lewdness.
Lewdness.
It went through my mind as you were sharing
that. That is a deep word, man.
I was thinking of the television shows when I was a child. Ozzie and Harriet slept in separate beds. Mm-hmm. Dirty TV was Beaver Cleaver falling in a mud puddle.
Right.
And today what's on television is just literally
lewdness.
And I saw, I turned the music down, but I saw half of the Super Bowl halftime thing.
I don't even watch it.
Everything was lewd. We just turned it off.
It's horrible.
It was just all.
It's satanic. I'm telling you, that's halftime.
Demonic.
It does not matter, dude, all these halftime Super Bowls for the last 10 years. Since Janet Jackson exposed her breasts. Mm-hmm.
Lewdness.
It has been demonic.
But the television in Hollywood glorifies adultery, fornication. Mm-hmm. I've heard that 94% of sexual presentation or suggestion or reference in television is outside of God's boundaries of marriage.
I wouldn't doubt that.
94%. These are horrific sins.
Right.
And when they get hold of people, they control people. Mm-hmm. And when they control people, it destroys families, it destroys marriages, it destroys careers. Mm-hmm. And so we just, ha, 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 we give it a new name like it is no big deal. Let me tell you, it is a huge deal.
It's huge. It is absolutely huge. So listen, I gave you a list, and in the scripture we are told that all wrong doing is sin. Mm-hmm. All means all, and that's all means. 1 John 5:17 says this, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. And of course, we will talk about that one day, that part of it. But all unrighteousness is sin. And not only does the Bible tell us things not to do, but James 4:17, I love this passage. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin.
Yeah, those are sins of omission, things we should do that we don't do.
That's right.
We should have quiet time individually each day. We should have little devotionals with our children. These are things that we need to do as Christian parents, and we have Christian grandparents, and when we have our grandkids over, we have devotions together before we go to bed at night, and the kids love it.
Well, I would tell you this too. How about when we look at dad not leading the home? Mm-hmm. Mom not letting dad lead the home. Kids not submitting to their parents. Listen, all these are sins of omission. Mm-hmm. Meaning you know you're supposed to do this, but you're not doing it. To you, that's sin. Let's just look at it.
And no matter what the sin is, the nature of sin is to destroy, and it is to grow. A little leaven at the whole lump. And the sin, if we allow it to be, will grow, and it'll take control, mm-hmm. and it'll destroy.
Yep, every time. Without exception, because that's what sin does.
For 6,000 years, there's no exception.
No exception, because sin destroys. Galatians tells us we are cursed if we try to do good to get to heaven. Look here, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You're cursed if you think that you can earn your way to heaven. It's physically impossible, spiritually impossible.
Madness. Spiritual madness. That's my new word.
Spiritual madness.
Just madness in our society. You know, saying evil is good and good is evil, and exalting the sinners and condemning the righteous. It's just madness on our border. It's madness in our politics. It's madness everywhere you look.
Because we know, even look, our government knows what is right and wrong, and yet they're condemning anybody that does anything right and praising anyone that does anything wrong. Dude, we've lost our minds.
You join us or we put you down.
We are an absolute, this country is an absolute train wreck right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's because of these sins, these sins that we don't call sin anymore.
Right.
We fan the flame of sin publicly.
Yep.
In our schools, in our media, the good guy is the bad guy, and it's just literally madness. But you know what? It was prophesied that it would be madness. So here we are as the children of God in these days. We need to man up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to step up to the spiritual plate and say, God, without Jesus, I can do nothing. But I'm your ambassador, and so you guide me. We take seriously these lists of sins. We teach them to our children, and to, as pastors, we teach them to our church.
Right.
And I mean, it's in the scriptures, and there's lots of these lists, and I think God puts them in there over and over again to remind us. He has the right to tell us what is right and wrong.
Oh,
by creation, by giving us life, by giving us His Son, He has the right and given us eternal life. He has a right to direct us, and His direction is away from sin and towards righteousness. And when we do, life gets kind of good.
Well, one of the things that I'm really, I love this passage. I just pulled it up. It wasn't in my notes, but I just pulled it up. You were talking about lists. So we have a list of things that we are to understand as sin. God has a list of things that He hates. Seven of them are an abomination. That's how much He hates them.
All sin is sin and it hurts. But then God has a special category of sin that's intense. It goes from being a sin and hurtful to an abomination. It literally makes God sick.
Yes. Think about that. And here they are. You'll find in Proverbs chapter 6, and I think it starts in 16. Yep, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. It says this: these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. The first thing is a proud look. Because that's where everything starts, is pride. Self-preservation is pride.
I have a few politicians just with their look.
The arrogance.
The elite.
Yeah.
And we are here, and it's all going to burn.
And it's horrible right now anymore.
Yeah.
So you have a proud look, number one, a lying tongue, number two, hands that shed innocent blood, three, number four, a heart that devises wicked plans, number five, feet that are swift in running to evil, number six, a false witness who speaks lies, and number seven, one who sows discord among the brethren or among Christians in the church. These seven things God says are an abomination, not just hates, because look, it says in verse 16, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. Like, it's beyond hate. It is absolute disgust, despise, with no chance of ever nothing. I mean, it is the cesspool of cesspools.
And it goes back to those same violations in the temptations, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It always dovetails back to that.
Every bit of it.
Always does.
And it always starts with the original, pride.
Pride, yep.
Because everything stems from pride.
He starts, yeah.
So I think this is not only a list of seven things, but I think it's a list, if you would, in order, because God's not a God of chaos, and so I think this is in order of what He hates.
Yeah, He put it at the top of the list, didn't He?
I think He did, yeah. So let me say this, give you some encouragement, right? In Galatians 3:13 through 14, God gives us an answer because we don't keep God's law because we're sinners, because we're sinful, because we are prideful and arrogant and liars and
cheats
and adulterers and fornicators and lustful in the heart. Because we are all these disgusting things that we are, God gives us an answer. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Christ hung on the cross. That is a reference. Tree is a reference to the cross. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through faith. And so Jesus Christ is our answer. Us putting our faith in Jesus Christ is our answer. And I want you to know that if we don't grab a hold of Jesus, what we will understand is that we will serve another God, and we'll just live a life of sin walking away from Christ. And God says, hold on, I'm going to give you a list. And this list is going to be your tutor.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to teach you.
There's a new Christian worship song, and it talks about Jesus. Not only is he our Savior from the penalty of our sin, but he's also the chain breaker. He breaks the chains mm-hmm. of sin.
And a way maker.
And a way maker.
Yes.
A chain yeah. breaker and a way maker.
Yes.
That's a good song, and it takes our reality, which these are sins that are very real. They're mm-hmm. dominating our world. They're
in our face every day. God despises them.
And we have to pull away from that world and be worshipers and worship our way through.
Right.
And then these things won't have we could slip away. My flesh will jump right into something stupid. But that if we're walking in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust right. of the flesh. So Jesus comes to live inside of us to give us strength against all this stuff.
Absolutely. Genesis 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That means we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and then we're justified. God looks at us just
as if we never sinned.
Just as if we've never sinned.
That's one of my favorite
That's
words.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah. So much in it. Just that one word, justification, just as if we never sinned.
Because we don't have the ability to, as long as we are thinking of ourselves, we do not have the ability. I need to correct that, because God tells us to be holy and sin no more, which means we have the ability to do that.
Through Christ,
yeah. The bottom line is, though, is when we think of ourselves more than we think of Jesus, then we don't have the ability, because we've put ourselves first, which is a problem of sin.
We need Jesus,
Johnny. Man, we need Jesus.
We need Jesus.
Hey, guys, listen. Here's the deal. When we try to compile a list of sins, we find ourselves buried under guilt. And when we look at it,
a lot of times we write the things down about others that we don't like, and that's our list of sin.
But we only write down about others what we don't like. We don't write down about, we don't make the list what we're involved in.
Yeah.
Because as long as you sin like I sin, we're going to get along just fine. That's how it looked, right?
Help us, Jesus.
Right? But listen, when we make these lists of sin, if we're not careful, we get buried under the guilt. And mm-hmm. and then, you know, because it's guilt of our own failures. Like, oh, I can't do good enough. And you're right. But because we can't do good enough, Jesus came to be our rescuer. And you can go back and listen to the previous podcast that we did before this one. And what we discover is that we have sinned far more than we realize, but we have a Savior who can rescue us from all yes. of that sin. Guilt is not ours anymore. We have been redeemed through Jesus Christ if we believe unto him by faith. And I just want you to know that if you ever take the time to really look into the scriptures and to admit you're a sinner, admit you can easily sin and get in a mess you shouldn't be in. And by the way, you're just because you don't sin like your neighbor doesn't mean that your neighbor's worse than you. It just means that you're both sinners. It means that we all need Jesus. And so I pray that the day comes where you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You believe unto him so that heaven would be your home. Brother, do you have anything you want to add to this?
Oh, we just need Jesus from the beginning to the end, but he's the Alpha and he's the Omega.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hey, guys, I hope this has helped you. And if it has, please like, share, subscribe, and follow. Share with someone else. If you have a question that you want, according to John, Unbridled to answer, email me at atjunbridled@gmail.com. atjunbridled@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Would love to get a response from you, questions that you may have. And it doesn't matter what it's about. We will cover it. So let me encourage you to do that, to send the stuff to us, and we will respond back and make sure that no question goes unanswered. So, guys, I hope this has helped, and until the next time, God bless.